resurrection of Lazarus is ultimately pointing to the ultimate age to come. The whole picture of Lazarus here being raised from the dead, Jesus is using that as a sign to point to the reality that he is the resurrection, that we're pointing to a time when he returns or in our glorified state where Jesus allows for us to see perfectly, no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more violence, no more hate, no more death, no more sin.
Hi friends, good day to you all, and welcome to Live in the Light. I'm Craig, and I'm the host of this program, and joining me in our studio is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. And Robbie, we're so thankful for our listeners. We're so thankful for the encouragement we get from our listeners. We just heard an amazing story, a fun little connection today, and we just want to reach out right now and say, hey, what's up, Pastor Paul, wherever you are. Whatever you're doing today, dairy farmer, also pastor at the same time, an amazing, amazing hero and one of our great listeners. We're so thankful for him.
Yeah, we were encouraged by that. Pastor Paul, we really hope you are listening today too. And wow, you are the hero, as Craig just said. I mean, you are there working so hard to get a dairy farm and then a pastor, as a lay pastor, working hard to prepare sermons. Wow, what an encouragement. Thanks for giving us the call. Thanks for letting us know, man. That just blesses our hearts that the Word of God is encouraging you where you are at. Keep doing what you're doing. We need so many faithful men and women to stand up in these really crazy and dark times. And that's why, again, this program is here, Live in the Light, that we can shine light in the darkness. And just to remind you all again, our theme verse, Ephesians 5 verse 8, for one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That is why we're here. We are seeking to shine that light as Jesus Christ does, and the only one who can, through his word, with his gospel, into a generation that needs to hear his truth and receive his light oh so much. So again, hey, if you're out there and you're being encouraged again by Living the Light, just like Pastor Paul did, hey, take some time, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. It's such a blessing to our team, and just to see and hear how the Lord is working again through the ministry. Craig, we're in John chapter 11 today. This is an incredible story and miracle as we wrap up this series. Again, the signs of Jesus Christ in John's gospel. This is none other than Lazarus being raised from the dead. And what a thrilling scene this is. You know, the joke goes, and it's been said for so many years now, right? If Jesus didn't say Lazarus, then everyone would have been raised from the dead right out of the tombs. And so he knows what he's doing. He is awesome. He is glorious. And he is not afraid of death, for he has conquered death himself. And that's what we get to hear about today.
All right. Well, let's get right to it. Again, as Robbie said, we are in an amazing passage, resurrection, John chapter 11. And we stand at the graveside of this man about to be brought back to life. Let's lean in, listeners, and learn more.
Amen. Good morning, 8:30. I'm so glad to see you. I'm so glad to see you in person. That is awesome. Hey, please open your Bibles to John chapter 11. And I pray you'll have some expectancy today. I pray the Holy Spirit's going to help us do that. I pray that maybe you're in a place, who knows where you are right now? Who knows all the different situations represented? Who knows the people that are here sleepy, people here that are fearful, people that are here and maybe apathetic, people that are here and just, I don't know. I'm just glad you're here though. I'm glad you're here. All right. And I pray the Lord is going to meet you, and I pray the Lord's going to speak to you today powerfully through this amazing passage on the death of Lazarus. It's interesting. That's what the subtitle says in John 11, but we know where that ends. I want to begin today with a quote, though, that's going to lead us into the theme of our passage. On the screen for you, it says this, "Death is an enemy. Death is an enemy." The Bible tells us that, but it's also an evangelist. Interesting. Death is the great mentor for diligence, sobriety, love, generosity, reverence, and humility. Think about that. Death forces the most profound questions to be asked, but mercilessly mocks those who sleep through its lessons. Death is like a detox clinic. It sobers us up. It is not the emotionally abusive father, though, who says you'll never amount to anything, but rather death is the effective drill sergeant who says, attention, move out, time is short. Get to a funeral, sit there, and this, so needed, so needed. Think, think. This is what death can do for us. Today in John chapter 11, we do attend a funeral. We attend a funeral together in John chapter 11, but it's actually a funeral that ends up in a resurrection. Because in the end, Jesus never conducted funerals. He only performed resurrections. Somebody say praise the Lord, right? I mean, this is our Savior. This is what he does. But we do have a text today, though, that is completely centered on the subject of death, without question. But it's not morbid and depressing focus on death. Ultimately, our text today does this. It tells us how Jesus is absolutely sovereign over death. It shows us how Jesus holds the keys to death and Hades. I mean, that's a massive deal because death is the number one fear of all humans across this planet for all time. And Jesus deals death a death blow today. So loved ones, we must think. All those that are listening or watching right now at Overflow, wherever you may be, we must think about death so we can properly think about life. This is the seventh sign, the seventh sign of seven signs in the Gospel of John that we might believe. And the seventh sign of Jesus is the greatest of them all, and we're about to find out why. Let's get to our outline, then we will read a portion of our text. Number one is this, ready? Jesus is not afraid of death. Jesus is not afraid of death. Look at John chapter 11, look at verse 1. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent to him saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he says, amazing, this illness does not lead to death. Listen carefully. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. If you are a student, Bible student from where we were last week, again in John chapter 9, once again we see a phrase in Scripture that is telling us, just like in the man that was born blind but healed, illness and suffering, Jesus says twice now, illness and suffering is ultimately purposed to lead and end up in the glory of God. This illness does not lead to death, Jesus says, but it's leading to the glory of God that you might believe again in the Son of God, or the Son of God might be glorified through it. So you see the blind man that was, again, born that way but healed, and Lazarus is about to be raised from the dead by Jesus. You might hear this and say, well, suffering is meant for the glory of God. You might say, well, that's easy for the blind man who is healed to say, or that's easy for Lazarus then and all his friends and family members as he was raised from the dead. But what about the rest of us who are suffering along and just enduring the pain of it? But what we need to see here today as we enter in again to this amazing passage is the healing of the blind man, the resurrection of Lazarus, is not just about the event that we see in this text. The resurrection of Lazarus is ultimately pointing to the ultimate age to come. The whole picture of Lazarus here being raised from the dead, Jesus is using that as a sign to point to the reality that he is the resurrection, that we're pointing to a time when he returns or in our glorified state where Jesus allows for us to see perfectly no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more violence, no more hate, no more death, no more sin. This is what this is ultimately pointing to. Think about this too. The amount of glory that Jesus will receive as all our suffering and as all our sin is made perfect in his presence. Just imagine that day. Imagine the glory that Jesus will receive on that day when we are glorified, those of us who are saved in Christ, glorified in his presence, all our suffering and all our sin made perfect in the presence and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, for the follower of Jesus, death is not the end. Death is the beginning. And one of the things we have to realize as I thought about this truth and this reality, this illness does not lead to death. It's for the glory of the Son of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, for you are encountering trials of various kinds. They are to test your faith, like gold being refined in the finer and the fire, what? So that in the end, it may be found to be the revelation and praise of the glory of Jesus Christ. Our suffering now will result in the praise of the glory in Jesus Christ. Even this morning, I was in Romans chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8, just this morning, another truth on this matter, saying that again, that when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, provided we suffer with him, that we might be glorified again in him or through him. Suffering leads to glory. This is a huge part of discipleship for believers in Christ. We suffer now, and the sin that we endure and the sin that we hate in the end will be found to result in the praise of the glory of Jesus Christ as he is fully revealed in perfection as our Savior and the deliverer of all such things. It's such an important concept for our lives in Christ, and maybe now in our lives more than ever, to see this, to live this, to expect this. So in chapter 4, Jesus is being told about the illness of Lazarus. And we learn that he doesn't go. In fact, he stays for 2 more days. Why does he do that? Why does Jesus not go when he's told that the one he loves is ill? Because Jesus was waiting for Lazarus to die. That's why. He was waiting for Lazarus to die. Why? Why would Jesus wait for Lazarus to die? Here's why. Jesus is not afraid of death. Jesus is not afraid of death. But again, but why? We'll look now at chapter 11, verse 11. Look at verse 11. After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe." It's the whole theme of our entire series. But let us go to him is what Jesus says here. So check this out. Jesus told him straight up, Lazarus has died. Lazarus has died. I mean, absolutely devastating, right? For those that are listening, for those that knew Lazarus and loved him, for those that are watching this situation, absolutely devastating, right? Wrong. At least for Jesus. It's not devastating. Notice when Jesus says this, there's no stress. Notice with Jesus, when he says this, there's no anxiety. There's no worry. There's no fear. There's no trepidation. In fact, Jesus actually says, "I am glad that I was not there. I was glad I was not there when he died. Why?" And his answer is that you may believe. You see, the sign of Christ pointing to the glory of Christ, that people might believe in Jesus Christ. So Jesus is not afraid of death. And why would Jesus not be afraid of death? Because Jesus holds all authority over death. As Jesus approaches the tomb of Lazarus, where he's going to be when he gets there, as Jesus approaches the funeral, the scene of death, Jesus knows precisely what is going to take place. He's not afraid. He's not worried. He is the Lord of life. He's the Lord of the universe. He is the one who is sovereign over death itself. So as we follow Christ and we become like Jesus Christ, then we too will not fear death. Are you afraid of death? I ask you boldly, I ask you lovingly, but I ask you clearly, as a believer in Jesus Christ, are you afraid of death? And if you answer yes, I ask why? Theologically speaking, and practically as Christ lives in us, why are you afraid of death? As a believer of Jesus Christ, there is nothing to fear in death. Death rules so many people's hearts. It influences so many people's decisions of trying to avoid. But again, as we understand what the Bible is teaching us as believers in Christ, as those who profess to be alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, the evidence and the truth and the reality and the power of God's Spirit in our lives, pointing us to not be afraid of death, again, is so plentiful. And we have to ask ourselves, if we're afraid of death, why? Why are we? Because Jesus is not afraid of death. So why are we then? I don't say that casually. I don't say that I'm trying to be gracious and loving, but I'm trying to be clear. The Bible is so clear with us. Number one, Jesus is not afraid of death. Number two, Jesus can do more than just prevent death. Jesus can do more than just prevent death. Look at verse 17 now. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus has already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." That's a statement of great faith. "But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus then said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, picking up on what she thought Jesus meant, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Notice, "Do you believe this, Martha?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Wow, what a passage of scripture. There is so much there. Now, the reason Jesus waited 4 days before coming was because Jesus was obviously aware of the Jewish superstition of the day. And the Jewish superstition of the day believed that the soul stayed near the body for up to 3 days, hoping to return. But after the 4th day, there was no chance under the Jewish superstition that the soul could return to the body. Again, Jesus, fully knowing this, he waits until the 4th day, thereby removing any doubt whatsoever as to what's about to happen and how and through whom it happened. So Martha comes to Jesus expressing her faith in Jesus' power. She says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus responds, "Your brother will rise again." Again, Martha picks up on this with great faith. Again, in verse 24, "I know because he will be raised in the last day in the resurrection." Jesus now takes the opportunity. I mean, he knows exactly what's happening every moment, every sentence, every situation. Again, Jesus doubles down now in truth. And not only will he bring resurrection on the last day, which is awesome truth, by the way, he will bring resurrection on the last day. But now he says this, he says, "Not only will I bring resurrection," he says this, right? He says, "I am the resurrection." Like, I am resurrection. I am life. The very existence of life and hope and conquering death and resurrection itself. I am, Jesus says. This is my very essence. This is who I am. So this is so awesome, right? I am the resurrection and the life. What he's saying to Martha, she doesn't get it yet fully. He says, the only way that the resurrection day is even possible is because I am resurrection. The reason there's hope in that at all, because I'm the one who brings it, Jesus Christ says. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the hope of the world. I am the one who conquers death. I am the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ says. So this is astounding. Not only can Jesus prevent death, but Jesus is sovereign over death. What are we learning here? We're learning this. Death answers to Jesus. Death bows down to Jesus. Death is the slave of Jesus. When you are resurrection and life, when you hold the keys to death and Hades, when you are the author of life itself, you can do more than just prevent death. You are actually the Lord of life. When Jesus says the statement, what he's giving notice to is death. Death, your days are numbered. Death, you have just been served notice. And the Bible teaches us so clearly, when you are saved in Christ, right? You are in Christ, the Bible says so many dozens of times. You are in Christ. You are in union. You are joined in Christ. You are placed in Christ. All that Christ has and all that he has, again, offers, you have. You are in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you are in union with Christ, attached to Christ, you are within Christ, then that means then you cannot be separated from Christ. If you are saved in Christ, if Christ dwells in you, if you have died with Christ and have been raised with Christ, then that means, again, whatever Christ is. If he is resurrection and life, then you are also resurrection and life, not by what you have done, because of what Christ has done in you. If you are in union with Christ, listen carefully, saved in Christ, this means you cannot die. It's impossible to lose. All of life is guaranteed and reigns in Christ. And if you are in Christ, then that is also in you. Everything he has, he shares, you are in him and he is in you. So therefore, again, there is nothing to fear in life because ultimately you have everything that Christ has promised and everything that Christ has earned. So loved ones, that means that today, because you are in Christ, if you are saved in Christ, today is another good day. Like think about this, as you're hearing this right now again, the gospel is renewing your mind and you are being reminded, and we have to do it daily. I have to do it daily, don't you? Like every day to remind myself of the truth. I'm alive, I am saved. Again, I am so tired of cheering for losing sports teams. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just so depressing. All the teams that you're holding, they just lose and lose and lose and lose, and they always let you down except for one that I cheer for and that I am in, Jesus Christ. Right? He never, ever loses. Ever, ever, ever. Amen. Clap for that. Amen. Amen. I mean, it is for a guy who grew up as a jock, right? And just like, again, like winning means something. It's just like, man, to be in Christ, it's just the reality is I will never, ever lose with Jesus Christ. And he has purchased me. I am in. Do you see what's being said? I am in him. I cannot be detached. I will not be removed. No matter what happens, no matter what situation, it is theologically, it is physically, spiritually impossible for me to be removed from Jesus Christ. I am in him. So no matter what life brings upon me, no matter what we face, no matter where we find ourselves, there is nothing, nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Not life or death, angel, demon, nothing. So you take this theology, you implant it deep, and you let the theology and reality start to dictate your circumstances as opposed to vice versa. This is the importance, again, and the reality of the Christian life and where we are. Again, you rehearse the gospel daily, and for so many of you, this is so healthy right now. So you understand this truth in Christ, and then we say, well, what are we fearful of then? Like, honestly, what are we fearful of? Are we fearful of death? No, right? I mean, how can we say otherwise? No, we can't be because of Christ in me. We can't be. Jesus is sovereign over death. See, this is why baptisms are so powerful. Baptisms are saying, I'm declaring as a symbol, Christ has died. I died with him. Christ was raised. I'm raised with him to newness of life. I will never die again. The beauty and the power and the symbol of baptism. And by the way, on the subject of baptisms, we had, 65 baptisms and whatever it was. I want to, these are three senior ladies in our church who were unable physically to walk up on the stage and get in our tank because of the limitations. But they were able to walk down into a tank of a different church and the way it was set up, and they're able to do that. So we arranged a special service in a church here in Burlington that they would go to, and they had a special service thing on a Sunday afternoon. And these three dear ladies here, Lisa and Clara and Debbie, and they all testified to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, as seniors in our church, how precious is that? That Jesus Christ died and they died with Christ and they were raised with Christ in newness of life. And they declared, like, look at the smiles on their faces, eh? And they were declaring again that because Jesus Christ was raised in his life, I can never, ever die. We thank the Lord for these three dear women. Amen. That's so great. It's so encouraging. Amen. And just the courage again at this stage. I love it so much. It's such a beautiful picture. And that's what baptism is, understanding Jesus can do more than just prevent death. Number three, I love this point. Jesus was indignant at death. Maybe some of you have never seen this before. This was a blessing to me this week. Verse 28. When he had said this, or when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. That makes sense. So when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, beautiful, saying to him the exact same thing that her sister Martha said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. The faith they have in Christ." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved. Look at the footnote in your text. You should have one. In his spirit, and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Uh-oh, shouldn't have said that, people. Shouldn't have said that, right? You're being set up. You're being set up. Now, once again, in this passage, there's a lot of things that are happening. What a text this is. Here again, we see the humanity of Jesus. I mean, we're going to see his divinity and glory here. But he weeps over the death of Lazarus. He's weeping over the death of Lazarus. But remember, he's already announced in our passage, he says, this illness will not lead to death. So why is he sad then? How does that make sense? Why is he weeping then? He's weeping, loved ones, because he saw the pain that death causes. It grieves him. Jesus sees the pain and sorrow that death causes his friends. He's weeping over the reality and the awful effects of sin to the point of deep grief within him. This is, again, his entire mission on earth is to combat the very thing he is weeping over. By the way, just in this text right now, I want you to take immense comfort from even these verses here of Jesus weeping. Notice this. Notice we understand that Jesus sees your tears. All the tears in this room right now, all the tears represented, all the different situations, all the pain, the sorrow, all the grief, all the loneliness, all the frustration, all the heartache. Jesus sees your tears. It's proven right here. And listen, Jesus feels your tears. Psalm 51 says the Lord keeps our tears in a bottle. And that's just marvelous. He keeps all our tears in a bottle. Jesus sees your tears right now. He feels your tears right now. He is not distant. He is not oblivious. Listen. One day soon, he's returning to wipe away your tears. And that's the hope. This is the hope, and this is. Notice both things in this text. Notice there's the weeping of Christ, but we're going to see the rejoicing and the reality as Jesus Christ again raises Lazarus from the dead. And I just want you to hear this again. Like, child, you are here today, child in the Lord Jesus Christ. The day is coming very soon when Jesus will return. He will appear, and he will personally wipe the tears away from your face. Again, hear the heartbeat of the reality of life in Jesus Christ and the New Testament teaching. The reality is we suffer now, and glory is coming.
Wow, well, a strong word from God's word today. And a message of hope for all of us today. We pray that you receive that from the Lord today and your hearts are encouraged by that and you face this day delighting in the hope that's found in the Lord Jesus. Thanks for joining us today, listeners. We hope you join us again next time here on Live in the Light.